second, the first one is the wayside. The Bible says that the devil takes away the word so that they cannot believe. Okay? He's concerned about belief. That's where it starts. The second soil is stony ground. They believe for a while, and in time of trouble or temptation, they fall away. They have no root. Okay? Falling away doesn't indicate that they never were saved, because belief is the basis for salvation. And falling away doesn't make you unsaved. It indicates that you're a babe, and God doesn't want you to be a baby Christian. Okay? The next soil is the what? Thorny soil. And the Bible says, Jesus explains this, and he says that the thorns grow up and choke the plant so that they become unfruitful. Okay, so that's where we're going with this. God wants us to all be fruitful. That's his intent for each of your lives. Each of our lives as believers. Okay? It's the point of having us alive. And we'll look at that a little more today. Even in Sunday school. You have the notes for that, so enjoy those, will you? If I get boring, just read through Sunday school. Okay? The thorns, Jesus defines as three different types of thorns. Do you remember what they are, since you don't have notes in front of you? He says that this, and this choke them so that they become unfruitful. Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. So, we are looking at how do we address those cares. What's another word for cares? Worries. Okay, we looked at it last week, and God told us on the top of the notes that you don't have, I'll review those, four areas in which God specifically tells us not to worry. Okay, four areas. The first one, do you recall? Provisions. God says, don't worry about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Okay? Why? Because God provides for, we sang about the sparrows. God provides for the sparrows. They don't sow, they don't plant, and they don't harvest. And yet, God keeps them alive. And if he cares for sparrows, aren't you much more valuable than sparrows, right? And he says about clothing, that would be, we would take it as a shelter idea, but it says, look at the lilies of the field. If they're so clothed in that way, and yet tomorrow they wither, you're thinking more as a desert culture. How many have ever been to the desert? How many have ever been to a desert after it's been wet? It blossoms. It's like on fire with flowers and all, and then they just, once it dries up, they're gone. Okay? That's what Jesus said. There's the lilies. They're there, and then they're gone. And he says, if he goes to that extent to do that for the lilies, which are today and tomorrow, they're gone, won't he much more take care of you? Okay? And so that's the idea with our provisions. We need to not worry. We're commanded not to worry about our provisions. And by the way, God promises to take care of your needs. Where do we usually fall into trouble? Especially in the United States of America, isn't it? I can't live without this. Oh, really? So a new car keeps you alive. You know, or a new carpet, or whatever the case might be, a new comic book, you know, or whatever the case might be. None of those things. God doesn't promise you that. In fact, he tells you, we're going to look at it today, just cast those things aside and put other things first. Okay, so necessities. Do not worry about provisions and the necessities. Number two, do not worry about promotion. Promotion. First Peter, are these more notes?
These are the real ones.
Well, the others are real. They're just irrelevant. So, but promotion. First Peter 5, Peter talks about being an elder talking to the elders. So he's a pastor talking to pastors. And it's interesting, he says, the younger, submit yourselves to the older. And he says, because God, what's the word I'm looking for? He takes care of the humble, but rejects the proud. Okay, the idea. And submitting to authority, as we've covered already this year, submitting to authority is God's will for our lives. Okay? God lifts up the humble, but puts down the proud. And pride is what causes us to rebel against our authorities. Okay? And even in the realm, it appears in churches where there's multiple pastors, we need to yield to those that are over us. It probably was a lot an age thing, especially in that culture. I don't think that's all wrong either, because people have been around the block. I call it seasoning. They've been around and been seasoned because of their experiences and their study and all of that. They are wiser. Maybe they don't know it all, and maybe they're wrong in some things, but God tells us to submit to them. So we're not supposed to worry about our promotion, our recognition, or advancement. The third one, everybody got notes now? How does it feel to have the right notes? I feel great about it. Number three on the back side is where we're at, on the very top. Do not worry about position. The Bible says, are you a slave? Do not worry about being freed. We're talking about position here. What situation or circumstances we find ourselves in. We are not to worry about that. We are not to worry about our position. Now, it does say if you have opportunity, that's fine. You make the best of that. If God allows you to be free, that's fine. But God allowed you to be a slave. He puts you in that circumstance, okay? So I didn't even put a point down here and the points we're going to talk about today, but I was considering that because we fail to see God's wisdom and where He's placed us, don't we? We're thinking if we have trouble, what's our thought? What's the fastest way out of this? Right? And what does God say? Out, I put you in there. What are you talking about? I let you go through this. We talked about this even on when we talked about the discipline of prayer. There are things that we aren't necessarily... God doesn't want us to be praying to get out of things nearly as much as what are we to get out of this? Right? God says in Deuteronomy 8, He allowed the Israelites to wander in the wilderness for 40 years that they may learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, for instance. That you may learn that God is for you and not against you. Okay? So God allows us to go through difficulty so that we might learn and grow. Isn't that what God wants us to be rooted and built up? He gives us graduated difficulties so that we may learn and develop strength by them. Difficulties will be there. The last review point there is do not worry about persecution. It says when you are persecuted, when God will give you the words to say. So don't worry about preparing for the off time when you're persecuted. God will give you the words to say in that. So those are four areas in which God specifically commands us not to worry. The next five points here, and there probably are 25, but I think I picked the top five, maybe the most evident. God's instruction on how to handle worry. Let's pray, and then we will look at these 5 points. Heavenly Father, help us as we study to learn and grow through these. Lord, we are known by You. You knew us when You told the parable about the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and You certainly make it evident that You know us because of the different commands in the Bible regarding worry. Help us, Lord, to be those that do not worry and do not act or prevent ourselves from acting because of worry, but help us to trust in You. Lord, teach us, and may our hearts embrace these truths. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Going to write on the board again. God's instruction on how to handle worry. He seems to know us quite well, and I'm glad He put these in here. Number one, we just referred to this, but put God's work and ways first. One possible cause of worry is that you're not living life by God's book. It could be evidence that you have wrong, what? Priorities. Okay, wrong priorities. Notice here, and I've only put two verses out of the full passage. We looked at that somewhat last week, but Matthew 6, verses 32 and 33. But after all these things the Gentiles seek, talking about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, for your heavenly Father knows what that you need all these things, right? So what are we supposed to do? What is Jesus' corrective command in that passage? We didn't look at that last week. He says, but instead of being like that, people that are focused on things, he starts out in verse 22, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. That'll fall over into next week's, okay, the riches idea. But he says, you're worrying. You're worrying about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. You're worrying about things, and worry doesn't help at all, right? Remember, he said, which of you by worry can add anything to your height or accomplish anything at all? Worry is wasted energy. Worry is wasted focus, okay? Put God's work and God's ways first. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. He's talking about the bare necessities. You don't even have to worry about the basics. You can trust God to take care of the basics, let alone all the other stuff. He promises to care for you if... what? Yeah, you seek first God's kingdom seek first. This isn't in your notes, kids, so if you're looking for spaces, it's not. Seek first God's what? And God's kingdom and His righteousness. Two things, right? Okay? What's God's kingdom? God's word? God's work. Okay. God's work. What God wants to happen. What God wants to happen. Okay, ultimately, God's rulership. What God wants to accomplish. You look, God, what are you attempting to do here? That's what I want to do. All right? Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer says? Isn't that right? Everyone can quote the Lord's Prayer. All kinds of people that have been to church, they don't know what it means maybe, but they can quote it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What? Your kingdom come. Isn't that what he said? You pray like this, right? What you want to happen, may that happen, and may I be going that direction. May I be working that way. God's work. Okay? What does God want you to focus your life on? First, His work. If we become preoccupied with our own work, we lose sight of what is important, and we begin to worry about the basics. Wrong priorities result in worry. What's His righteousness? Yeah. God's way. The way God wants it to happen. Okay? Righteousness has to do with our actions. God's kingdom has to do with our direction or focus. God says these things must be first. We got to do God's work God's way, right? That's what God wants. And He says that must be first. What is your focus? What is your focus today? What are your priorities? What are your intents? These should be the overriding governing factors of your life and my life, God says. Even over and above providing for your family, cooking your food or whatever. Get it? What you eat, what you drink, what you wear. How many of us worry about what we wear? Guys, maybe not so much. Ladies, how are you doing with that? Now, I think God hits guys with two, what you eat and what you drink, right? You know, we're, okay, yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm starving. It's been like 15 minutes since I've eaten something, you know, or whatever. But I'm saying we end up focusing on the temporal things and we forget to focus on the eternal. And God wants us to put first those things and worry about even eating and drinking and what we're wearing. Those are subservient to this focus. Even to the point that God might have us go hungry for doing His work, His way. Anybody you know of like that? Paul, he says, hey, I know how to be full. I've eaten a bonanza before. And he says, but I've also known how to be hungry. And that's the context, if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the specific context. He says, I'm putting God first, and if that means going hungry at times, that's what I am. And if that means being cold at times, he says, send Timothy, have him bring the parchments, and have him bring the cloak also. I don't know if you recall, but it's cold and damp in this dungeon I'm in. But first things first, and the first things are not what we think of as first things. God says we are to put God's work and ways first. That's, if we're looking at God, worry goes away because we see God is in control. And if we're doing God's work, He's in control of His kingdom, and we're doing God's way, then whatever results is what God wants to happen. Sometimes we'll be full, sometimes we will be hungry. Sometimes we will be warm, sometimes we will be cold. That's the focus. Right? That's what God wants. Put God's work and God's ways first. And then it's an inherently trusting God that if I'm doing God's work, God's way, then the result is up to God then. As opposed to if I'm focusing on me and what I want or even need, then God says, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're kind of missing the point. Think of it this way. For those of you that drive, anyone here fill their car up with gas? What if all you did all day was worry about having gas in your car? Do you need gas in your car? We call that a need, you know. Let's go with that. Is that the purpose of your car? To have gas in it? That's not the purpose of your car. The purpose of your car is to get you back and forth to do what you need to do. Folks, when we're focusing on these earthly things, even what we eat, drink, or wear, we're focusing on putting gas in our car rather than living out what God intended our purpose to be. Fair? Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I got to get gas in my car. Well, it's kind of like 3/4 full. I got to get gas. And it's like, why don't you drive your car? Use your car. Okay? It's a misfocus. Put God's work and ways first. Number two. Prompt yourself. Sorry, I thought I'd remember it. About God's care for you. Prompt yourself about God's care for you. We know, yeah, God knows how many hairs on your head. And yeah, I know that it's easier for my head than some of yours. For God to keep track of. But this verse seems to bring it out anymore. God knows my details. All right. Okay, fine. He knows how many socks are in my drawer. Good. This verse here, we sang about, actually. 1 Peter 5:7. Notice this. What are we supposed to do? Casting all your care. Karen, what's the other word for care? Just so that we know where we're going. Worry. It's the same root word for all of this. The cares, riches, and pleasures, the worries. Be anxious for nothing. We'll get to that in a sec here. Casting all your worry upon Him. The second part is more important even than that. It tells us what to do. We're supposed to put our care onto Him. We're not to worry. And notice the second part, for He what? Well, that's different than knowing the hairs on your head, isn't it? I mean, I get that, and maybe that's where God's going with that, but this specifically says that God cares for you. Literally, the Greek goes like this, and when I first worked on this years ago, and I came across it, it's like, casting all your care upon Him, for you are of concern to Him. I mean, do you ever feel like nobody cares? Do you ever feel like, okay, God, I know You're really smart because You know how many hairs on my head. Well, God goes out of His way to let you know that He cares about you. What is worry? Worry assumes that God doesn't care. Really? And let me ask you this. If God, who is God? Describe some of His attributes. He's all powerful. He's all knowledgeable. And the Bible says He's all loving. Okay? If God cares for me, then I'm not out in left field. I'm not abandoned. I'm not forsaken. Okay? We're going to look in Sunday school about the word forsaken. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that what He says? Isn't that what He promises? Casting all your care, literally, like in one lump sum, on Him, for He cares for you. Spurgeon told a story one time about this guy. He was a farmer, and a very poor farmer. He was taking some of his grain to market, and he was walking with this big, heavy load on his shoulders and just walking down the road. And this guy comes up, a little farmer with a little more well-to-do, and he's got a wagon. He's going to market, and he says, hey, can I offer you a ride? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. So he hops on with his bag and he sits there on the wagon. And the guy goes, you know, after riding a little bit, hey, why don't you just pop that down in my wagon? He goes, oh, no, you've done enough for me already. And it's like, what are you talking about? I'm already carrying the weight. Why do you need to carry it too? Isn't that the idea? We pick stuff up that God said, hey, I'll take care of you. You don't worry about it because I'm in control. I'm all knowledgeable. I'm all loving. I'm all powerful. Nobody can outdo me in any way, shape, or form. Right? Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Right? And it's like, so why are you picking up weight when God already has it? Okay? You're not helping God. Right? He's got you in His hand and you lift something off His hand. Oh, here, I'll help you with that. So that's ridiculous. Yes, it is. Prompt yourself about God's care for you. He cares for you. And He tells you, cast all your care upon Him. You don't carry it. He's already carrying it. How many of us here like carrying our own weight? When God's carrying it, yeah, me too. Right? It's like, why worry? It does no good, and God's already got it. He says, cast all your care on Him. You cast all your worry on God, because guess what? He'll do your worrying for you. He's got it there. He's got it. So you can count on that. Prompt yourself about God's care for you. You are of concern to Him. Let Him have your worries. Number three. This one is probably one you think about when you think of this. Pray instead of, it should say worrying, right? Pray instead of worrying. This is probably ties in. But give everything to God. Isn't it interesting? Do you realize that sin is, or worry is a sin? You realize that? Why? Because God has commanded us not what? To worry. Where? Philippians 4:8, as well as others. But Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. We don't have time to get into rejoice a great deal, but rejoice is the idea of not just being giddy or happy, but being confidently resting in God's ability. That's the idea of rejoicing. Okay? It's not looking out, it's looking up that has to do with rejoicing. Paul wrote this, by the way, when he was in prison. Get the idea. It's not your circumstances, it's the God of the circumstances. And that's why we can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The God is near. Now, verse 6, I got a square around it, a box. Be anxious. This is the verb form of the word cares or worry. So the idea is be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. Okay, how many cares are we supposed to cast upon God? All. Okay, so he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And then he goes on, Philippians 4, he says, oh, by the way, don't worry about anything. Okay, so He'll take everything you have, and He's specifically commanding you not to worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay? What are we supposed to do instead of worrying? Pray. And it goes on. It's not just, he says, what part of prayer? He says, everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. It isn't just, God, help me with this, but it's like, what's prayer? Prayer is adoration or acknowledgement that God is who He is. It's who He is, what He is. Okay, it's acknowledging God as God. What's supplication? That sounds like a big word. My kids do it often, but they don't use the word at all. To supplicate. Dad, can I have some candy? That would be making a supplication. Can I watch a movie? Supplication. Yeah, supplication. We get supply, right? It's asking. Asking for things, okay? And then, notice the next part. With thanksgiving, what do we usually do? God, I'm not thankful. I don't even like where I'm at. I don't like my circumstances. Don't we miss? Isn't worry, again, saying that God doesn't know what He's doing? What is thankfulness? It's being thankful for what God is doing. Do we have to like everything that happens to us? No. But should we be thankful in every circumstance? Not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance, yes. So we take time to say, God, and that's what I think that the Lord's Prayer, even as that model prayer, it starts out with talking about who God is, right? My Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed by how I live. May your kingdom come by what I do. May your will be done by what I do on this earth. Right? And then it's give us this day our daily bread, right? Isn't that an interesting order? Right? So that's the idea here. It says, pray instead of worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God, I don't like that. I think you can be frank with God. You can be honest with God. As long as you're not telling God how to solve your problem, right? Because He might say, no, it's good where you're at. Paul's in jail, right, when he's writing this. And he says, hey, I might die here. And he says, but guess what? Being in jail is falling out to the furtherance of the gospel. By the way, that's the idea of His kingdom, right? I'm doing God's work God's way, and it's like, hey, I'm in jail, and guess what? People are getting saved. Well, I'm in jail. This is cool. All right? And I might die, but hey, being with God's better than being with you guys, but I guess it's probably better to be with you guys for a while longer. All right? That's what he did. And notice what the result is in. What is worry, if you were to describe it? It's a lack of what? Peace. It's a lack of peace. And he says, guess what? You pray to God, acknowledge who He is, thank Him for what He's doing, ask Him, and it isn't necessarily, God, get me out of this. But God, help me through this. Isn't that what we said, what, last week? He said, there's no temptation, no trial, no difficulty that has overtaken you, but such is common to men. Not everyone has it, but a lot of people do. The same circumstances you do. But God is, what? Faithful, who will not allow, permit you to suffer beyond your ability, beyond what you are able, but will with that trial, that difficulty, that temptation, what? Make a way of escape, not to get out of it, that you may be able to bear it or endure it or go through it. I think the prayer is, Lord, help me to make it through this. May your grace be good. And Lord, if you can get me out of this, if that's your will, that's fine. But Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. All right? And I trust you to make the right decision regarding this circumstance. Right? And then it says, and the peace of God, which what? Passes all understanding. Worry is an absence of peace. Peace, where there's peace, there's no worry. I trust God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Where does worry happen? In your heart and mind, right? Will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's not a bad deal, really. God says, give me all your worry. And He says, hey, instead of worrying, you just pray to me. You acknowledge who I am. You thank me for where you are at. I could dance with to that, I suppose. And He says, you make your request. And folks, when we request, we're not telling. Is a request a demand? Help me out here. Yeah, you're asking. Allow God to say no. Allow God to, you might say, God, I don't know the answer to this, but you choose. And I will rest in what you say. I will yield to your result. Whatever that is. If I'm hungry or full, cold or warm, right? If it's difficulty or easy, then I know you are handling it, not me. It's not guaranteeing a comfortable result. You hear me? It's guaranteeing that God will have the result that He wants. And guess what? You don't have to worry about it. Because the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Pray instead of worry. Okay? Number four. This is another one too. That I think snags us. Point your care towards others. One cause of worry We talked about its wrong priorities. It's carrying stuff that God didn't intend for you to carry. It's not going to God. Another cause of worry is pure selfishness. I'm worrying about all of my things. Does that make sense? We spend so much time, we look at all our own stuff, all our own situations, and we worry about ourselves. All it does is act like a magnifying glass. It focuses on ourselves. And guess what? Then we see all that much more detail, all the more to worry about. Right? What does God say? He says, you know what? On top of putting my work and ways first, on top of just reminding yourself that I care about you, and you can cast all your care on me, on top of saying, you tell me when it hurts. Okay? I'll give you peace. But he says, now I want you to focus on other people. You make them your worry or your concern. And that is in a good way. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 24 and 25. It says, but our presentable parts have no need. Talking about the members of a local church, okay? Our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, no split or divide, that the members should have the same care for one another. God wants us to take the care focus off of ourselves, you know, double magnifying glasses on my needs, and look at somebody else and care for them. That's what the body function is all about. You are here to care in a positive way to other people. Not to worry, but He wants to use that ability to be concerned in a constructive way to care about other people so that they might be helped. Everything that you can use wrongly has a good purpose. And this is that good purpose, to care about others. God wants you to take the magnifying glass off of yourself and to look at others' needs and put them before yourself. That's another way that God alleviates worry. It takes our focus and our mind off of ourselves and puts it on others as He desires. I grew up with a little chorus, and some of you know this one. Others do not, but it's called Joy. Do you remember that one? Years ago, it goes, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. J is for Jesus, for He takes first place. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you, and whatever you do, put yourself third. And spell joy. That's God's plan. God didn't put you on this earth to worry about yourself. Okay? He wants you to focus on others. We're going to talk about that in the Sunday school class today, even a little bit. So point your care toward others. Make a positive use of that care emotion, that care energy, and do something helpful, because that's something you can do something about. You can help people. Where if you sit and worry about things that you have no control over, what's it doing? It's just eating up your heart, eating up your mind, eating up your energy, okay? So point your care toward others. Number five. Prioritize, we've talked about priorities already, so these all overlap to some degree. Prioritize worship before work. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42, not happened as they went, that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now, a quick caveat, a lot of women use this as an excuse to be lazy at their house. This is not justification for not doing your work at home. I believe what Jesus is saying here is you have to put, again, first things first. Worship comes before work. How many here have lots to do? How many think that at least by the end of May you'll get everything off your to-do list? One big one, and wedding, pass out, rest. You know? Been there, done that a few times. But yeah, it's like, is the work ever done? And sometimes do we end up worshiping our work? Can we do that? What do we mean by worshiping? We put that first. That is more important than God. What does God say we're supposed to do? The entire infrastructure of life requires us, if we're doing it rightly, to meditate on the Word day and night. Oh, really? So that means I have to be in the Word in order to meditate on the Word, right? That has to come first. Then I will be fruitful. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth. Oh, okay, that comes first. Even though all of these things are urgent and need to be done, if I don't do the most important things first, the rest of it doesn't work. It puts it all out of kilter. Anyone here been to a chiropractor before? What does a chiropractor do? Yeah, the medical term is cracks you, right? So, years ago, I had a lower back injury, and I went to a chiropractor, and I didn't know much about it. I had a backbone, but I didn't know much about one. So, and he was saying, "Well, here's the issue, okay?" He says, "Well, your lower, what did they call those? Vertebrae." Yeah, that's right. That's second grade science. Long time ago. "Your lower vertebrae gets out of kilter." Now, these are my words. I don't remember. He probably used some big medical term, but it gets disjointed or whatever. And he says, "Your back, spasms and all that. And if you don't adjust it, eventually the other vertebrae have to adjust to keep you upright. So then all these other vertebrae have to go out of kilter because this one's out of kilter." You get where I'm going? If your foundational habits are off, what is affected? Everything. Does that make sense? That's almost like saying, and I'm stepping out in strange territory because I don't bake, but that's almost like, I don't have time to worry about the ingredients, I'm baking. And you're like, you look at me and it's like, that's so stupid. Well, we don't have time to worry about God's ingredients, we're living. Isn't that ridiculous? The Word of God tells us how to live, and we don't have time because we're busy. See a problem with that? It reminds me, I only know men like this. I wouldn't be like this. But when you get something, what's the last thing you get something and you have to put it together? What's the last thing you look at? If you have to. Isn't that a microcosm of what we do in life? Life doesn't matter. I'm busy living life. You know, determining what's important and developing a proper foundation for life and an infrastructure for thinking is not important because I'm busy. Isn't that backwards? It's like, I don't have time to learn the rules to the game. Just move. Make your move. It's like, you can't do that. Is that what we do? God wants us to put worship before work. Otherwise, it causes worry. We're out of kilter. Our entire perspective is changed when God is first. Our entire perspective. I tell you what, I can tell when I'm not in the Word. Can you? That's why, to me, the most important thing you do is read your Bible every day. I know that sounds so trite and insignificant, but the Bible draws your heart back to God and helps you see things as God sees them. You simply cannot live any other way. God must be first. And our relationship with God is rooted in being in the Word of God every day. And we cannot be immersed in the Word of God unless we are immersed in the Word of God. That sounds profound. You might want to write that down. But the Word of God is of no help to you if it is not in you. And that has to be ongoing every day. Otherwise, things are what? Out of kilter, and then everything else adjusts. Though all of a sudden, it's not working the way it's supposed to. And you're like thinking, you think? All right, it's like driving your car backwards with the brake on. And you're like saying, what? With no gas in it, you know, or what, however. And it's like, that is so stupid. And it's like, that's exactly the way we live if we are not in the Word of God constantly. Because it's like, that's the way we live life automatically. We do it wrongly because our hearts are sinful and our minds are unilluminated apart from God. You want to get out of worry? And by the way, God wants you not to worry. You need to put worship before work. Put learning before your list. Put teaching before your to-dos. All right? Otherwise, it cannot work rightly. We need to have our hearts tuned in order for our feet to work right. We need our hearts tuned in order for our eyes and ears to work right. We need our hearts tuned before our mind thinks correctly. And our mind will immediately begin drifting if we are not immersed in the Word of God. That is a fact. So let's review. Got what God has to say about handling worry. Put God's work and ways first. What does God want me to do today? How does God want me to do it? That's where we start today. Number two, prompt yourself about God's care for you, casting all your care on Him because you are of concern to Him. He cares about you. Let Him deal with it. He's not forgotten you. He's not, oh no, I didn't realize this was going to happen. None of that catches God off guard. If you're in a situation, God knows about it and allowed you to get there. Let God worry about that. Pray instead of worry. Why worry when you can, right? Pray, trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Pray instead of worry. All right? Acknowledge God for who He is and what He does. Thank Him for being bigger than you are. Right? And then make your request. He doesn't promise to answer the way you want. And by the way, it's a request, not a demand. I say, God, if you can get me out of this, I'm good. If not, help me to make it through. Teach me what I need to know. Give me the grace to do it. And then the Bible says the peace of God that passes all of the understanding will keep your hearts and minds. That's where the worry happens. Right? Point your care toward others. Again, one of the causes of worry is selfishness. I got a whole list of me, you know. I got to worry about me. It's like God says, no, you got other people to worry about. You got other people to take that focus so that you're not just overanalyzing yourself. And then number five, prioritize worship before work. God has to be work first. Your relationship to God, your daily worship, your daily immersion into the Word of God has to be there. Questions or comments? Valerie. We need a down, uninterrupted. I don't know. It's easy to be distracted when you're around all your stuff, isn't it? So good, good point. Anyone else? Right. No, exactly. Right. Precisely. Worrying is saying God doesn't know. He's unable, unwilling, or doesn't know. All any of those. And none of those are true by what the Bible says.